We are talking with Dr. Ibrahim Karim and Dr. Pier Paolo Albergini about biogeometry. Some very interesting work here that they've been doing throughout the years. So we're very fortunate to have them both with us to talk about this and help you to get into some of their work so that you can read up more on this and find out some more about some of the aspects of this. And it's a very serious subject, obviously. It connects into so many different things, specifically in terms of health, as we've been talking about, and how to protect ourselves from electromagnetic frequencies and everything else. I thought, well, maybe we can begin to talk a little bit more about some of the biosignatures, Ibrahim, how this works in the bodies, etc.
Yes, well, biosignatures follow the same way of thinking like the meridians in Chinese acupuncture, that the meridians follow the shape of the body, you see. So every physical shape is based on an energy grid. So thinking the same way, every organ inside the body would also be sort based on an energy grid of that organ. But you cannot go to the energy grids of the organ like you can go with the meridians, because the meridians are on the surface. The others are inside the body. So what we did was we detected the flow of those energy grids of every organ inside the body. And then we replicate them through, we draw them or we manufacture them and put them on the outside of the body and let the energy of the body go through this shape. Once the energy is shaped by this biosignature, if it has the same flow inside the body, resonance will happen with the organ inside, you see. And when resonance happens, it amplifies the energy of the organs. So we make the communication with the lines inside the body, we make it through resonance, because you cannot bring like acupuncture a needle all the way to the heart or to the kidney.
So right.
What we do is we use geometrical resonance to do that. Once some of the energy on the periphery of the body goes into a shape and it's shaped in a certain way, if there is the similar shape inside the body, that enters into resonance. Now, we placed those biosignatures on medallions, on rings, and they are worn on the body. Now, people might think, okay, what will this do? Well, I went into medical research in Egypt. I went into very serious medical research done by a pharmaceutical company of Azhar University. And I was forced to go in there, although I told them, biogeometry is not a form of treatment. Biogeometry is just environmental energy balance. But, you know, they said you're getting so many good results that you have to take part in this experiment. So I took part in a research project of liver hepatitis virus C, you know, which is a deadly thing. And people have to take sometimes interferon. And so they were doing a comparative research where they used herbal remedies and then they used drugs. And interferon had come out with 25% success. So they told me, come in and let's test your biosignatures. So the whole idea was I shouldn't see those people or give them special biosignatures for the liver and all that. So I shouldn't, let's say, analyze what each person needed. So we came up with the idea of putting all the biosignatures on a medallion and letting the body choose what it needs. So we did 300 biosignatures, because all the people who had fallen out of the other medicines, the people whose immune system collapsed after interferon, all the people who got some toxic problems from herbal things, they gave me this worst group of 300 people, and they gave them the medallions. And so they wore the medallions with biosignatures, and within 10 days, I had a 90% success rate in reducing the enzymes of the liver. And so I asked them, for those who had the means, if they could go and do some viral testing. It costs a bit more. And a group of about 70 people went and did PCR to see if the virus is still in there. And most of them had the virus turn from positive to negative. So this was a very big success in Egypt. It went on television. It went on. It caused a huge thing, and we made some medallions, about 7,000 medallions, in a very cheap metal, and distributed them on the poor people in the villages as a project at that time. But after that, you know, the people...
So let me ask you this. So the material as well, does that have any importance?
Well, there's a bit of difference between a material and the other, but the difference would be from 10 to 15%. But the main effect comes from the shapes of the bisinctures themselves. The material, of course, in antibodies, some people have skin intolerance to this material or that material. So there are some personal preferences, but otherwise it's the shape itself. You can actually get a pen and draw the shape on your hand. You know, whenever I have a problem in my body, before I go to the doctor and everything, see, I always say before I go to the doctor, because biogeometry is a form of energy balancing. It's a support to medicine. It's not a method of treatment. So I always tell people, okay, use biogeometry, but then go to the doctor. For example, if I feel a pressure in my heart, if I feel I could be getting a heart attack or something, I just draw some bisinctures of the heart, take my pen, draw it on my hand. It will, at least I feel better and all that until the doctor comes. Or sometimes in sports, you know, if I'm playing tennis and then I have a muscle problem in my hand or in my knee, so I could just take a pen and draw that on my hand, and then I feel it reduced or relieved. So, I mean, you can actually draw them, and there's so many ways of using biosignatures. It's a very interesting field, actually.
Very interesting indeed. Well, as I'm looking at some of the images and also some of the videos and what you have on your website, there's this one shape that comes up quite a bit. It's basically like a rounded corner. It's like a corner, but then you have an indentation of a circle right in there. What does that do, that shape?
Oh, it looks like an L with a rounded corner, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is a special... That's not a biosignature, it's a biogeometric shape. Two straight lines and a quarter of a circle in there. This is... We have different angles for that shape, that with different angles, and each one would protect you for the one with the angle about 66 degrees, like that. This is very good against electromagnetic radiation. It's very good protection there. The one... A bit wider with 90 degrees between the two long arms is very good for emotional disturbance or psychic problems, and so on. Those two are the main ones. So they are usually worn with every medallion we wear or something. We usually wear one or two of those.
Very good. You as well, Pier Paolo?
Absolutely. And I must say that, for example, these pains that sometimes happen, they are due mainly to blockages that happen in our body. And many times we have applied, for example, to a pain in the knee, a special biosignatures, and the pain has disappeared within hours. So we have a very good response in the body and a proof that these biosignatures, because they are working on the quality of energy in our body, they do the work. So sometimes you have an appointment with the doctor, and maybe the doctor finds out that there is nothing wrong with you. What happened? Why are you here?
But you should always, I mean, you go to the doctor. I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is, you know, the application of all this is enormous. You know, if you think about 300 biosignatures that can be used to relieve blockages in the body, when we distribute these medallions, which are actually very beautiful to wear, and they don't cost even that much, it's a different way of approaching our relationship with our body that is energetic and not chemical has sometimes the MDs tend to use at the detriment.
Oh yeah, they get lost in it. There are more people dying of so-called correctly correctly given medicine in the world than in any other fields. It's horrendous. It's we can't just look at the chemistry.
Yes,
I want to add something here. When you wear the medallion with biosignatures, you're not taking anything, So there's no harm because you're not swallowing anything. Nothing invasive happens. You're just wearing a medallion like you go and buy any accessory and wear it on your body. So actually, it cannot be harm you. And the work, it doesn't work in a way as a treatment. What it does is actually it harmonizes the energy relationship between the organ and the environment. That's why we call that environmental sort of harmonizing. It's not medicine, but the body, from the energetic point of view, doesn't end at the extremities of your body. Your energy body extends in the environment, and the biosignatures will harmonize this energy exchange with the environment. That's how they work, you see. So every organ, it interacts with the environment, it interacts harmoniously with the environment. And the most important thing, it is protected also from negative effects in that environment when it's interacting with it.
Let me put this in there as well, because we might have unintentional patterns, different of these signatures that we're talking about, unintentionally on you somewhere. It might be a pattern on a shirt that you're wearing. It might be a belt buckle. It could basically be anything at all. So although the intention might not have been to create something that might even be, well, it could be beneficial as well, of course, but let's say that it's harmful. But with that in mind, that basically mean that everything that is in our environment can be a potential detrimental material or have a shape, right?
Yes, to a certain extent, you see. For example, the colors you wear, the shapes you wear in the body. But as long as they don't resonate with anything inside your body, they could cause some very little disturbance. Let's say some very little harm, but not much, because they don't resonate with anything inside. So don't be afraid of what we wear and all that. But they could actually disturb your energy. But sometimes, sometimes in the morning you go and want to choose a shirt and you feel that, for example, this shirt, I don't feel okay with this shirt. Actually, some people, very sensitive people, cannot wear shirts or trousers with vertical lines. They prefer with horizontal lines. So there are, if you're very sensitive, you might be sensitive to some of the patterns around you. Well, that's why we say, if we could go, we shouldn't be afraid of patterns everywhere.
That's not what I mean either. Yeah. But I just that there might be an unintentional effect of something that has a similarity to it. Yeah,
but it's very little. But if you could use that to your effect, you see, if you could use every pattern, if every designer was putting patterns everywhere in the school, and those patterns were somehow healing to the person, healing to the surroundings, you could change the world that way.
Again, conscious design,
Yes.
Yes.
And, there is also, for example, we are starting a new line of jewelry that has, for example, bracelets for women that have these biosignatures hanging on it. And this could be on a personal level, which one of the biosignatures will work aesthetically and energetically for anybody, so there is this production, also the extension of biogeometry in jewelry that could be very beautiful and very useful. The other thing that I wanted to add here is that, for example, there are many people that fly, and the flight itself, especially if it's 8 hours across the Atlantic, can really be harmful. But wearing one of these medallions or having close by a shape that we produce, or a ring that can really reduce the stress and the harm that these radiations bring to the body.
What about like scalar energy? I know that Tesla was doing some of this as well, and this there's some different versions of this flying around out there with that this also holds a certain pattern and such. Have you guys looked into scalar energy at all?
Yes, we've done a lot of research to scalar energy, and actually one of the authorities in Europe, I mean Dr. Constantine Mail, is a good friend of mine, and but remember, scalar energy will still, there are two types of scalar waves, completely non-electromagnetic scalar waves, but there is the other type of scalar waves that are produced through electromagnetic radiation. You know, you can produce scalar waves that way. Now, this type that is produced electronically will carry electrosmog into the environment. Actually, Dr. Constantine Mail, he's the authority on that. He himself says that the nature of electrosmog in the environment is not standing near a cable, not being in an electromagnetic field, but electrosmog is like fog, you know. It's a standing situation in the environment. That means it's the scalar waves resulting from electromagnetic radiation that actually cause a standing state in the environment, and that is electrosmog. So electrically produced scalar waves are a huge, let's say, source of electrosmog. But we have one change on that. We've taken the apparatus producing scalar waves, and we sort of tweaked a bit the proportions between the amplitude and the frequency. Like, say, we designed the shape of the wave. And by shaping the wave in a harmonious way, we managed actually to use scalar waves to cancel electrosmog, you see. Same like electricity.
Fascinating. Can we talk about some more examples of what you did in, what you guys did in Hinsberg, was it, in Switzerland, in Hamburg?
Yes, I can tell you. I mean, in Hirschberg, for example, let's say, take the animals first, because we've done lots of research around the world with animals and with agriculture and things like that. So what happened in those areas? In Hamburg, for example, they put the tower that had the communication antenna, they put it inside the church tower. The whole idea to put it in there was not to disturb the scenery for tourists and all that. But what happened is people who went in the church got headaches. You see, so people started not going to the church because they felt bad. Every time they got in there, they got headaches, they got nausea. So that was one aspect, that this huge disturbance that happened there. So when we worked on Hamburg at the end, one of the things that the mayor told me, I mean, the whole press was actually discussing the health symptoms of the people and all that. They were fascinated by all those things and by the migrating birds that came back and things like that. But the mayor, when he came out, he didn't speak about all that. He spoke about what he felt. He told me, "I thank you because you brought peace to our community." You see, because all the people, when you lose your inner tension, became friendly. The people in that area were very aggressive with each other, within the family, with neighbors and all that. But wow. Then they all of a sudden, they changed. They became very friendly. So he said, "You brought peace to my community." And the second word he said, "You brought back our church into our hearts." Because once we worked on that tower, the energy of the church became such a strong healing energy that it became a pilgrimage area. People were coming from the other neighborhoods, from the other villages in the area, they were coming to that church because of its good energy, you see.
Fascinating.
And so, there's a lot, I can tell you, I mean, every day there are little stories like that happened in the areas. For example, I'll give you a nice story is one day the army came to do some maneuvers near Hamburg in that area. So they started erecting some radars and things like that to do their work. So the residents of that area, they had already helped me a lot installing the shapes and pointing them, you know, like geometrical shapes that emit a certain geometrical energy. So you could point it at any electric source and sort of harmonize it at a distance. So they call me in Egypt and they tell me, Ibrahim, send us a box with about 12 of your biogeometric emitters. So I said, why, what's wrong? They said, well, we have maneuvers here in the area, and since they came and put their stuff, all the symptoms of electrosensitivity have come back, and we don't know what to do. We're desperate, but we know how to solve it. If you just send us the shapes, we'll do the work. So I said, you'll know how to aim them and do that, and said, we'll do everything. So I sent them a box of shapes, you know, and they put the shapes, aimed them at the radars, and every time the army moved the radars in different places of the emitter, they would go and move the shapes behind them so that they wouldn't feel their headaches or things like that. So stories like that, you know, happened every day in those areas, you know.
Very interesting. Well, I wanted to return to another topic you guys briefly brought up in the first hour there. Protection from psychic attacks, microwave attacks, mind control, etc.
Yes.
This can help with these kinds of things.
Yes, you see, I'll tell you something. If you just sit in front of a person and you concentrate on that person with a negative idea, we will detect already a disturbance in the brainwave in the person in front of you that you're looking at. So what we do when we put that energy quality of sacred power spots in that area, any incoming vibration, whether it's microwave, whether it's some emotional impacts, psychic, or some geometrical shapes can be used to create havoc there. All these are neutralized because the person is bathing in an aura of sacred energy. So everything that comes in there changes completely. So it's not affecting them at all. You could have the same effect, you know, if somebody is attacked, he knows he's attacked by some form of mind control. And he goes into one of those very famous churches in Europe on sacred power spots, you know, like Chartres in France or Grossmünster in Zurich or something like that.
Yeah.
And he goes in there on the power spot. He'll be protected as long as he's in there. He will not be affected by the mind intrusion or mind control in that church because the energy of the power spot will protect him. So imagine if in biogeometry we're using that same energy amplified 1,000 times. So we can easily, I mean, we do it a lot, for example, on important people in some places. We do their palaces and or their airplanes and things like that.
Ships.
So are the ships.
Oh, really? And there's little high-end people interested in this?
Well, I come from the Middle East, and I work with all kinds of different people. So
the interest is there. There are people who are starting to get this, in other words.
It's not just the interest. Take somebody who is... not only mind control, take somebody who has some very simple, let's say, chronic sinus problems or respiratory problems. And he travels in his jet. The moment he gets in there, he won't feel good at all, you know. And some of those people, if they have a fleet of 747s or whatever, if they go into one of those planes that I haven't done, they'll notice it straight away. And they'll ask, hasn't Ibrahim done this plane? Okay, then I'm going to use the other one. Which one? And then they'd go in the plane, and they feel it straight away when they go, oh, that's this, Ibrahim did this one, without even knowing, you see, they'd know the difference straight away. I myself, you know, one day, I did one of those planes, and I had sinus problems. So I went into the plane. After I finished, the people told me, you know, you have to test the plane. Come with us. So I said, no, I'm not feeling okay today. I did it on the ground. They said, oh, no, you can't do the plane and not test it with it. We have to test it, see if you have affected the instruments. So they went up from the ground with a 747 to maximum height, then back to the ground, then maximum height, then back to the ground 8 times. And then I was feeling good. And then we went down, and I went to the other side of the airport. I took the commercial plane going back to Egypt. The moment I set foot in that commercial plane, my sinus killed me, you know,
really?
Until I was home, and my ears got blocked. But I tell you, other things we worked on. For example, in Geneva, there's a very a high-end car rental company. It's called Elite Rent. And they have, you know, those Ferraris, Lamborghinis, things like that. But they also have high-end limousines with chauffeurs. So we did a research project. They had 8 Mercedes cars with chauffeurs. So I came and modified 4 of them without the drivers knowing which ones I modified and which not. And the drivers, we asked the drivers to write a report. We did about 10 questions, and we asked them to fill them at the end of every day. After the second day or the third day, the drivers already, all of them, knew which 4 cars were modified.
Tell us how you modified them. What did you do to the cars?
Well, I put very simple shapes. We have what we call a car kit. Very simple shapes, plastic shapes we put inside the car. And so we just put those inside the car. And there's not much, I mean, very little.
Interesting.
And so the driver, you know, he takes the car and he goes the whole day for 8 hours, and he has no problems at all. And, you know, he came and said, this is the one. And he came to me and said, what have you done with the car? You know, I explained to him that any car seat, especially in a Mercedes like that, has about 18 electromotors in the seat. And the car has about 180 electromotors. So when you're sitting on a seat like this, things like that bound to happen. Another one, it's another very funny story. He used to take a lady, a very, very prominent lady in Geneva, and he used to take her once a week. And this lady was giving him terrible time. You know, she was shouting at him all day. She's very nervous. And, you know, and he hated this driver. He hated taking her around for about 8 hours, once a week for shopping. And, you know, he tried every week to not to go with her, but you know, she wanted him by name, you know, every time. And then one day he took the car, and the lady came, sat in the car. All of a sudden, you know, she felt very good, and then she started speaking to him nicely. She wasn't very nervous, she wasn't shouting, nothing at all the whole day, you know. She was a completely different lady.
She fell asleep.
You know, and then she fell asleep in the car. You know, when going around, she felt so happy in the car. So when he came back, of course, he told me, now I know this is the car that has been done. And he told us what the lady was doing. So things like that. I mean, we did this project, and this was a research project. We did it with some of the cars of Elite Rent here in Zurich. Now they have a whole new fleet and new cars, of course. Sometime at the end of this year, we're going to do the whole fleet of Elite Rent in Geneva again.
Interesting. And this is this something that they kind of advertise? Is this like out in the open, or is this more done in incognito because they know they have an effect on people? How's it done?
No, well, they're not really advertising it, but, you know, we are working together. So my name is on their website and all that. So it's not too advertised, but it's still not hidden.
It's known. Yeah, okay. Well, that's very interesting.
When I do, let's say when I do the whole new fleet, this time we will put pamphlets in the car so that people know what has been done to those cars, you know.
Very good. There was another point here I wanted to ask about, and feel free to jump in here anytime, Pier Paolo. I wanted to ask you about collective emotional or mental energy effects, because this can work also as you mentioned earlier, Ibrahim. You can have one person sitting in front of you with a intent that is negative in that sense. But what happens when you take this to a collective level of mass of people?
Well, let me say one thing: the media, you see, television programs, radio programs, all kinds of programs. They might have very good intentions, but the fact that they're using electromagnetic wave, they're causing harm, you see. And we have done, I mean, this is something that could interest some people in your field. We managed to put some things in the studios themselves so that the healing energy coming out of the TV program or of the radio program would have a healing effect on the person listening to it or watching it. And you can actually measure that with any device before and after, and you can actually see the difference.
What device do you use to measure that with?
You can take, for example, you can measure the heart rate. You can measure, usually what we do, we bring somebody to measure, let's say, the brain vibrations to see if we can increase the lower vibrations of the brain, the 3 and 7 beats per second, you know,
mm-hmm.
if we can increase this and then reduce a bit the what goes higher, you know, the higher rates from 16 to 30, if we can reduce this a bit, so we're putting more relaxation, so it would indicate more, let's say, more relaxation. Then we notice also that the oxygen saturation in the blood increases. We notice the breathing rate somehow is harmonized, is lowered. And then, so there are many tests like that we can do. We can use more advanced energy devices that measure the meridians or some Chinese device. I mean, any type, there are so many, depending on each project and the available devices, but you can always monitor the test. In all our documents, you will always find that in every one of our products on our tests, you'll find at the end some of the tests being done. Some are done by infrared cameras, each one is done differently. But at the end, we always ask, whenever we do any project, we always ask for some, form of validation to be done for us, you know.
So some that feedback.
We can document. Yes, because we want to document our work. If we make a project, somebody just tells us, I feel fine, you know, and write us a few words, it doesn't say anything. It could be placebo or something like that. So we like... We like to have proper documentation. The best documentation, of course, comes when cows become fertile again or when their milk increases again and all that, because I cannot have a placebo effect on cows. You know, the cows in Switzerland do not speak Arabic. You know? If they spoke Arabic, you could say I spoke to them. But
and also the birds that come back. You know, the birds... As soon as there were the antennas, the birds took off. Those was a sign. That was the first sign. And then when the birds come back, obviously nature knows much better than we do. There is a sensibility in animals that actually to these kind of things. Like, see now the case of the bees.
Yes.
The bees that cannot find their way back to their place. Because of electro sensitivity. So animals are in this way, they protect themselves much better because they know what's happening to the environment, because they are tied with the earth frequencies. We seems to have become, as you were saying before, asking before, kind of numb to these kind of things, also due the numbness to the electrosensitivity.
Yeah.
Because this electrosensitivity obviously reduces our capacity of being aware of what's being done to us. And what we do to Earth.
I'd like to add something here. We did some tests, and we did those tests in a TV program, even in Egypt. We did it in front of everybody. It's on YouTube. We wanted to show the people the relationship between electricity and morals, you see? So we found that if you put the computer on electric device and all that, and we tested the people using it, we could measure the effect on the user to see the problems that were happening in the user's energy field. That we knew. But then we asked people sitting there to think of a lie, you know, any lie in their life, to think of something immoral or lies. And the moment they thought of lies, their body showed the same disturbances exactly like that from electricity. And within 20 seconds, all the people in the room showed the same. So it was emanating in the room. So you could see that electricity supports lack of morals or disturbs morals. And morals produce a sort of harm on the person and on the environment too.
Let me ask you this. There's been talk about, in terms of electricity, of course, there's different currents in Europe and in the States and other parts as well. But there's been talk about, you know, a need to change the currents and the frequency of that, basically, because it's detrimental to us. Do you guys share that same view, or can something simply be done to it again, the same thing that you're talking about?
Let's look at it that way. The quality of something does not change if you reduce it or increase it, you see. So the electricity, whether you do that or not do that, it is still very harmful whether you like it or not. The only way to adjust, let's say, electricity in a way that it doesn't become harmful is to shape the wave. For example, you shape the wave that is a certain relationship between the amplitude and the wavelength. You know, this has been used in scalar waves in ancient times in the temples. In the temples, they used to design the halls in such a way that the rooms, the room proportions were done in such a way so that they would cap and emit scalar waves that are the height and the width and the length that the room puts on them. So the temple would emanate healing scalar waves. So you could do the same thing with electricity. You can shape the waves, and then if you shape, you have the proper shape of the wave, it would have a healing effect, whatever the frequency is. It would go all over the frequency band. It doesn't really matter. That's the only way to go, by shaping the wave to affect quality. Because imagine that way. If you have a wave, if I make it out of wood, you know, the sine curve out of wood, and I put it in a flow of water, okay? Now, the shape of that wood would influence the turbines around it.
Sure.
So if I have the same length, but I have one with a high amplitude and one with a very low amplitude, although they have the same length exactly, they would have different effects on the water turbulence. So thinking all the time just in frequency is inadequate. You're taking just one part. You should think of the wave as a whole, as the total shape of the wave. And that is physics of quality, the total shape of the wave, the proportion of the wave, not just aspects of voltage or wavelength or that. All these things are inadequate if they're taken separately.
Yeah. If I may add.
Go ahead.
You see, we are talking about completely different way of approaching the problem than the industry. The industry is now renowned to put screens to protect and to reduce the quantity of energy even up to 98%. Well, that 2% that is left is killing people. But if you change the totality of the wave or the quality of the energy that comes in, that's 100%. And you don't have to spend in any fancy way of reducing the quality, the quantity of energy that comes in with screens that cost a fortune. Like I have a client that has built a huge house close by to a Bell substation. In the Bell substation, right away, they have put 11 antennas that they produce. And the guy, the client wanted to sell the house. And I said, no, wait a second. We have done this in Switzerland. This is nothing in comparison. We just put Hamburg emitters directed to those antennas, and you'll be all right. He says, well, my wife would like to put up this reducement. And I said, well, there is another problem. If you put up a screen, anything that is within the screen in the house will reflect like a mirror toward the house. So if you have all kinds of equipment, that computers and mechanical stuff and so on, it's actually detrimental to add these screens.
Like a Faraday cage or something like that. It gets trapped inside of there.
Exactly.
Wow.
So the concept of changing the quality of this emission is paramount.
You know, I want to just to stress on one thing. Look at it from a cost-effective benefit. Using a geometrical shape means you're interacting with free energy. It doesn't cost you anything. It keeps working as long as the shape is there. If you don't break it, it keeps working. So this is an ideal form of free energy, you see, from one aspect. Now look at it, if you have, let's say, a hybrid car or a normal car, there are three simple shapes that we call a car kit. It costs you about $30, $30 to $40 maximum. And they completely change the effect of the car on the driver. They also reduce accidents, because once they reduce stress, you have increased awareness. So imagine a solution for a car. You go spend thousands of dollars to buy a car or buy a hybrid car, and you can solve the problem with something as cheap as $30. I mean, if you think about the relationship here, very simple geometrical shapes that cost very little, or that you can change the atmosphere of a house with about $350 or something like that, of a big house. I mean, the cost-benefit here ratio is incredible.
Let me ask you this, Ibrahim. This is obviously a short-term fix for something that's designed improperly, which takes care of the issue. But would you also like to see future designers learn about this kind of thing and design everything with all of this that we've been talking about in consideration, so you don't have to put a little plastic geometry on it to fix it, sort
Absolutely.
Of thing?
That will change the world.
That's what I teach. That's what I teach at university. That's what we teach in our courses all over the world. I mean, I teach postgraduate students who do master's and doctor's degrees in biogeometry. And I would like to see all the designers of the world use it and solve the problem from the beginning. I mean, imagine, look at it that way. Imagine you are living where you are in Sweden or whatever it is, and you don't speak any language of your area. If you don't speak any language, you won't be of much help to society. You won't be able to communicate.
That's right.
Now, take that example. We are born and live all our lives in nature, and there is a divine pen that is drawing and writing all the shapes of nature around us, and nobody can read. You see?
Yeah.
So if you cannot communicate with nature, what are we doing? You know what? We're like a person who's looking at the mirror, speaking with himself the whole day and ignoring his surroundings. We, humanity, are speaking to ourselves and totally ignoring nature. We're born and die living into it, and we don't want to read the language it's writing.
So, yeah, that's right.
It sounds simple, but
it's absurd, and for the reasons that when we're born with this kind of fog, cloudiness over us, we don't really have a true understanding of our past and roots and everything, and we've forgotten that. We've moved completely in a different area versus where nature is. We're so disconnected and isolated from it. And because of that, we get all these, you know, weird ailments and psychological diseases, and there's just so much that unfolds according to, you know, that we're breaking those rules, if you will.
Yeah, but take any animal, for example. They read the language of nature and they understand it and live by it, you know, until the animal, of course, is domesticated and lives with us.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when the animal gets arthritis or gets fat or gets psychological problems.
I mean, there are dogs that are on antidepressants these days, you know.
Yes, you see. Yeah. So but leave them in their own environment and they speak the language of nature because they don't have the kind of thinking and free will in the same level like we have. They have more a right brain type of consciousness that is receptive to the laws of nature. So the laws of nature are actively working through the animals, and those animals then live by the laws of nature. One very important thing to understand, for example, that the female today works partly with the laws of nature. She's still working with the laws of nature because when the female is pregnant, the right brain is open to the natural laws, and a sort of, as if divinity is holding the woman from the right brain, so that when the child has a problem, she wakes up in the middle of the night before the child has the problem, you see, because here the laws of nature are protecting the progression of life. So there is still a small part in the woman that reads a bit of nature when the life of a child is at stake.
Yeah. We seem to have been on this kind of pendulum a little bit between, you know, the right brain and left brain and back and forth, and we've been struggling throughout human history to kind of attain some level of balance here. Do you guys think we've ever will achieve some kind of balance between our hemispheres?
Well, I tell you one thing. There is, you know, that you perceive your reality, the perceived reality is actually created in your brain. You know, your senses get radiation, certain waves, and then your senses translate that into the brain, and then you form an image and this projected. So you perceive reality through your brain. Now, if a shift of focus happens in the brain from a right way of thinking to a left way of thinking, it is worse than having an external cataclysm where you have a shift in the Earth axis. So I call the shift in the brain, I call it the great shift, because this how you perceive the world is shifted. But then, okay, now our senses are working so rapidly and so detailed and so analytically in the left brain. And what we can do is the same thing like we do in biogeometry now. Use those same left brain assets to go and map the right brain, to go inside that unknown, that forbidden region that we call magic, that we call esoteric, that we call that. No, if we go with science, like what we did with the physics of quality, we go with the attributes of the left brain into the right brain. Now, how do you achieve the, let's say, the attributes of the right brain? Communication with the laws of the universe, communication with the laws of nature, understanding the laws of nature. Now, you can't shift back into the right brain. You can't become like primitive man again. So what you do, you use all the advanced attributes of the left brain to go with a scientific way. And the only scientific way to do that is using the physics of quality, using the qualities to go beyond the left brain into the right brain. And then all what you call magic, esoteric, occult, because you're afraid to look in there, you go with full courage in there with the tools you have in your hand, rediscover that area, connect both right and left, and all of a sudden you have a new human being emerging. And a very important thing is with biogeometry, if you're in a house that's made by biogeometry or wear a medallion or something like that, you can see already the two parts of the brain synchronized. So it will help you to interact with the right brain while your left brain is in full action. You see, they'll both be full action together interacting. Biogeometry will help you do that. Exactly like if you go and spend time in a sacred power spot, you get a new feeling of awareness there. Your awareness expands. So this is the same feeling, only with biogeometry, it's a bit stronger.
Yeah, an alchemical process. Go ahead, Pier Paolo.
Yes, there is a creativity that comes out from the balancing energy that is not there. So this process of exchanging between the scientific part of the brain to the heart, let's say, right side of the brain, is achieved with a harmonization of the environment and the body in such a way that there is calm, there is joy, there is what wasn't present, because using too much of the left brain brings you aridity into your life in a certain way.
And quantitative thinking will trap you in the left brain. So you need a science of quality. For example, if you're listening to music, okay, you're into the right brain, but you're out of the left brain. See? If you're doing mathematics, you're into the left, but out of the right. But with the science of quality, you're going with the tools of the left into the right, discovering a world, a universe of secrets in there. That is what the physics of quality and biogeometry does to you. It changes your life.
It's a holistic approach. I mean, because it's kind of an epidemic today. People are just stuck in one modality. And they're fighting to both understand the world and our reality with our limited senses, and we're never going to achieve a balanced, you know, perspective with that.
You see, the only thing here, the most important thing in biogeometry, is the fact that it's a practical science. You know,
yeah,
it's not a holistic approach where you believe in things, we speak spirituality in an abstract way and all that. No, in biogeometry, you know, you tell me, I have this problem, please find the solution. Please do this, you know. When I came to do Hamburg, the scientist said, what can he do? So I said, look, if you can do with traditional science, if you can find the solution, why ask me to come? But I come to solve the problem, you see. So the nice thing about biogeometry is do it, you know.
Yeah.
When you have a problem, go out and do it. It's a practical science. And from the first day, I teach you even simple things like put 16 dots in something, but it will still do something, you know. And that's the important thing about biogeometry, is a practical thing that you use in everyday life.
Another thing that I wanted to point out, Henrik, that is affecting a lot of people, and here we're talking about a lot of people that have a lot of money. For example, a recent client that is a CEO of Microsoft came to us, and his problem was not the money, because he had done a $42 million home.
And Steve Ballmer?
I can't name it. I'm sorry, but it's not that.
Okay.
But,
all right.
And they stayed there 1 week, and the wife said, I cannot live in this house because the chemicals, especially of the carpets, killed me. And they moved back to the old house. So when we met, I said, well, there is a very simple solution with biogeometry. Ibrahim has invented a wheel, which is round, about 4 or 5 inches, so 15 centimeters diameter, where there are all holes, concentric holes, and where do we put a tiny bit of a sample of, for example, a carpet or a paint or a wood or a tile or anything that is in the house. Once it is put in the right position, it changes all the attributes and the qualities of the material in a good radiation. Therefore, don't affect negatively this the person that are using the house. We had an example, a graphic example, one day when we were finishing a house in close to Toronto. It was a big house, and it was done all with biogeometry. And we arrived to harmonize certain part of the house, and there was this kind of smell in the atmosphere due to a stain that was put in a lot of wood that was present in the house. And Ibrahim says, oh my God, you know, the client was very sick. And he says, this is going to affect for 4 years this client. Metal halide, yeah. So we took the wheel and we took a little sample of the wood and we put it in the right position in the wheel. Then the client, his wife, was in the kitchen with the interior designer, and we called them in the space where there was all this wood, and we said, can you smell anything? And they looked at us and said, what did you do? Because there was this smell all over the house, and now we can't smell anything. So this proves that the quality of the material had changed in a way that was not harmful anymore to the users.
Well, that's very interesting. Bizarre.
chemically, it would still be there. Quantitatively, it is still there, but the body is not reacting to it.
How about the aspect of frequency then? Can we compare it to something like that, that everything basically emanates a frequency in the environment, and it's the frequency that becomes detrimental to our body. And when we apply something like this, it changes the vibration or the frequency of the element or the product, what have you. Is there, can we explain it in that way?
In a way, but let's look at it that way. I'm not changing the physical frequency coming out of something. That doesn't change. Then you ask yourself, but how come you're not changing anything? What we are actually changing, you know, we have a sort of a multidimensional way of looking at waves. So we can access with our shapes, we can access the higher levels of waves. Let's say the emotional level of waves, the mental level of waves. Now, our shapes affect those higher levels of waves. Because, you know, when you smell something, if you react to it, you say it's this reaction is emotional. Awareness of it is mental. If I harmonize those two levels, emotional and mental, it is like very similar to you being there, but you're daydreaming as if you were on the mountains or in the sea, you see?
Yeah.
Because I'm changing the higher aspect of the wave, harmonizing it. So you are, your emotional and mental aspects are not reacting at all. And so you feel okay, you know, but the physical, if you measure physically, all the things are there. We're not reducing quantitatively anything there. We are just changing the higher levels of that or whatever it is. And by changing the higher levels of any material, it's just not affecting you. And even radioactive materials have responded to that. And we noticed the effect on mice, for example, when we changed the radioactive materials, the mice, when they dissected the tissues and all that, showed normal tissues. And the same group of mice in another house where we didn't do the materials, they all got cancer. So it's very tricky to understand. When you study biogeometry, and since it's a science of quality that goes on different octaves, you see, so we work on the higher levels, you know. It's like when you hit a physical note like C, you activate all the C's or all the Do on all the other octaves. So we put a physical geometrical shape that actually enters into resonance and activates the qualities of that shape on the emotional and mental levels and higher levels. So it's it's not spiritual, it's not esoteric, it's very scientific, but it brings, let's say, the spiritual is brought down to practical scientific research.
Well, that's fascinating.
But the nice thing about it is, all of a sudden, a lot of your beliefs, all of a sudden, get proof in front of your own eyes. Because all of a sudden you see, there is something called spiritual energy because it's doing this effect. There is something called emotional energy. There is something called mental energy. I hear people speaking about those things, but I never saw somebody work with them, emanate them, radiate them.
Right.
We work with them, you see. We treat spiritual energy or mental energy or emotional energy just like quantitative science treats electricity.
And it brings it into the physical world in a little bit of a different way. That's it's very interesting.
Yes, we use the physical world. If you have a science of quality, then it is based on resonance. And resonance, you can use physical implements to create a resonant quality exchange on all other levels.
Wow. Well, this has been really fascinating, guys. I've really been enjoying this. A lot of new aspects that's new to me. I wanted to, again, of course, give you both the opportunity to mention your work, books, websites, and everything else like that as well. But I wanted to ask, what's next for you guys, if you're doing any talks or presentations, if there's any big projects you're working on right now?
Yes, there is in the bridge workshops in Italy, actually the first one in Italian. And there will be workshops done by somebody that is one of our workshop leaders in Switzerland, probably in October. There is a lot going on in Asheville, North Carolina, and Toronto, and now in Montreal. In Montreal, there will be lots of workshops and training for new and people that they have already taken the foundation and will take the advanced course and the practical course, which is very important to go out and do a good job, let's say.
Well, definitely, exactly. So you guys offer courses and seminars and things like that as well then, yeah?
Well, a major part of our activity, our activities can be divided like that. We have research activity, and the research is mainly run by myself. I mean, the research taking the science forward, inventing new things and all that. And then there's a whole system of instructors that are sort of teaching several levels of biogeometry all over the world. Now, the whole teaching department is run, taken care by my wife, who supervises this thing. So here we sort of, she takes a lot of the load off. And then we have, of course, a design department where we do architecture, where we design furniture, we do for example, chairs, we do the bottle and all that. And all our designs actually have a healing effect on the person, have a harmonizing effect on the house, whatever thing. So we have this department of product design, let's say, and architecture and landscaping. So we do those things. And then we have at the same time also a retail department that we have retailers all over the world that retail our products. And then, let's say last but not least, then we have the projects department where we do projects all over the world, like the projects in Switzerland, like the airplanes, like things like that. So we usually have a few projects running around that we do. And these are always very interesting because every time it's a new challenge and every time it's a new field where we apply our project. So that will give you an idea about the whole aspect or the whole scope of work. And I'm trying to find time in between to write some books, and I don't seem to be finding much time for
that. Well, you have a lot of different things in development and a lot of exciting work. So, yeah, I can imagine how busy you are, both of you.
Well, it's life, you know, and it's a pleasure. You know, when you have a mission, you don't feel the amount of work and all that because you feel you have a mission to complete.
Well,
and
exactly.
All the departments are part of that mission.
Yeah,
you know.
All right. Well, and, yeah. Go ahead, Pier Paolo.
Sorry, and more you do of this, and more you feel light about it. It's like very energetically positive to do biogeometry. And everybody that is taking part of this feels in the same way. New and old people, it's contagious almost. And we're trying to let the world know of this existence, and of course in the Orient, because everything has started from Cairo in Egypt. Ibrahim is a household name, and he is known all over there, but much less in North America and Europe. And we are trying to take care of this, and you're giving us a chance. So I really appreciate and thank you for this.
Oh, definitely. I hope it spreads far and wide, and that also a lot of people pick up on this and read more about it, try to learn more about it, get some copies of the books, and try out some of the products as well, and see if it's you know, what kind of effects it has. I'm gonna try some of this myself, as we've been talking about here. It sounds definitely interesting. In terms of a hybrid car, that would be a good idea, I think. Even the batteries are so toxic to produce that they're only allowed to be made in certain countries. Yet these are green vehicles. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, we have to see the whole concept of green in the world, you know. And we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to let many people know about our work. It's been really, a really exciting few hours that we spent now with you.
Thank you so much. Give us the websites as the last measure here before we let you go.
Biogeometry.com. This is one, and I'll let Pier Paolo do the rest
then
here.
Then there is alberginiarchitect.com, then biogeometry-products.com. And Graziella Zanoletti that has biogeometryproducts.com, GraziellaInfo@biogeometryproducts.com.
All right, there we go. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll round up on that note. We'll have the links up on our website, redicecreations.com. I hope we can speak again soon, but thank you for this time.
Well, it was our pleasure. Thank you,
Andy. Our pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our program for today. Next on Red Ice Radio, we have a short update on the 2013 Bilderberg meeting with Daniel Estulin. For now, we say thank you to everyone at Red Ice, to you for listening and for being a member. We'll be back shortly.